It is 7:45 on a Saturday morning. That means it's time for another wine chat from our friend from Haskell's, Ted Farrell. Good morning, Ted.
Top of the morning to you, Denny. Top of the morning to you.
And you as well, my friend. I was just thinking about the namesake. Come Monday, is your brother Bo going to be celebrating his namesake? Now, that's my middle name, but I know Bo has a special place. I was going to say a special place in history, but he's got a special name. But anyway,
Patrick Beaujolais will be celebrating his patron saint's feast day without a doubt. As far as being on that day, everybody's a little bit Irish. Everybody likes to have a good time. I believe down in St. Paul they'll have the parade either today or tomorrow. And actually, I'm down in Naples, Florida currently, where they have their big parade. And it's kind of funny that this is such a small little community, and they put on about almost a 2 hour, it might even be 3 hour parade that goes through. And I mean, you name it, as far as people showing up, they have the high school band, they have alumni groups from all across the country as far as different colleges. It's truly incredible that this small little town gets that going. But what a great way to do it. What a great thing to celebrate is St. Patrick's Day. He's kind of a little bit of a misknown saint as far as he did his missionary work so long ago in about 400, in the 400 AD or so, give or take, where there weren't a lot of records. So it all kind of rolled into a lot of myths. But, the one myth that he scared all the snakes out of Ireland, but then also used the shamrock to explain the Trinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's a definitely special spot in all of the Irishmen's and Irish people's heart as there's a patron saint of their country. But, it's very interesting that that holiday up until recent over in Ireland actually was a very somber holy day. It was their patron saint. You went to church, you had a family meal. I think even some cases, many of the towns closed their pubs so everyone could be with their family. And then it's really only in America did we all of a sudden really kind of take it to a whole new level, where the Irish, came over, crossed the sea and started things up here, started doing wonderful things. But, I suppose I'll break a little bit of record here and not really do a wine chat. What we'll do is talk about some beers and other things from Ireland. So the one thing, Irish beer, probably the most famous beer from Ireland, without a doubt, but might be the most famous beer in the world, is Guinness. Guinness is that dark black stout beer. So delicious, rich and creamy. It's just a treat as far as to have that on there. And it was started by Arthur Guinness back in 1759. Truly incredible. And he had the foresight, and I guess he realized his recipe's so good, he signed a 9,000-year lease for his brewery for 45 pounds a year. 9,000, and he says a few more thousand years to go, but they make it so well that it's so good. But, I mean, it's incredible that brewery, up until about in 1838, it was the largest beer in all the brewery in Great Britain. And then in about 1886, it was the largest brewery in the entire world. And what they made is that famous Guinness Stout. The one thing about a stout, it does travel very well with this kind of the herbs and spices that they use and put in that for their yeast and hops, that it just allows it better travel. It's still the largest brewer of stout in the world. It's no longer the largest brewery. I believe Anheuser-Busch took that title away from them in the 70s, but it's a rich and creamy one. And one of the things that the Guinness Company, two funny things, but one thing they did, they started what is called this little widget. And now you can see in the Guinness cans, there is this small little plastic sphere that when you open up the can, it with the pressurization releases nitrogen right in to the beer as you open it. So it's almost like you're getting a proper pour like you would in Ireland, because, they draft those beers. They oftentimes it takes two pulls to fill up a glass. You have to let the head settle and calm down. And the widget allows that boost of nitrogen in there to really get it a rich, creamy, foamy head, and a truly great experience of having a beer. So if you're going to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, definitely crack open one of those beers like that, pour it into a glass, and you swear you're at an Irish pub enjoying a lovely stout beer. It's so great. And at one point, and I could be wrong with this statistic, that the Guinness Company was making a little bit more money on the actual patent that they had on that widget, because so many people, other brewers saw that it was so great that they wanted to use that. So they're licensing that widget patent out to other breweries, and they're making quite a bit of money. Now, the thing with that kind of drinking culture is you sit around with two Irishmen and you'll get four opinions. So what they also did, a little sidebar, because they're brilliant marketers, they actually established the Guinness Book of World Records. And the reason why they did that was to settle all the pub arguments. So the Guinness Company built this little book. So, you know, a guy in a pub sitting there arguing who's the strongest, who's the tallest, who's the fastest, whatever, they would then, after a few pints and a long argument, they'd have to go refer to the book as who's the biggest drought. So the Guinness Book of World Records kind of came from this great, wonderful beer, and it's so nice. And now it is a stout. Now, stout's an ale-style beer, and ales are generally warm, fermented. You know, that temperature is in and around plus 59 up to about 75 degrees, so it's a little bit different style. And an interesting thing, for years, especially in the 1700s or even earlier, you know, most people, that's what their intake of most grains and cereals were with beer. But it's not to be confused with like the Pilsner style beers, which are lager, because that's cold fermented. It's a warm fermented beer. Kind of interesting little fact right there. But, you know, the beer itself is just great. Now, Denny, I got you on the spot here. If we were going to sing about St. Patrick's Day, what key would we sing in?
Whiskey.
Yes.
Did I get it right?
Use that joke finally, in the whiskey. And there's another little tidbit that the Irish are known for, is all the Irish whiskeys that they make. And they are so fine and so delicious. But the incredible thing was, at one point back in about the mid-1800s, they were one of the largest distilling countries in the world, as far as having over 35, 40 different distilleries all throughout the island, making those things. That Great Britain was one of their big export markets, but quite frankly, so was the United States of America. So they brought that over. Now, with the Irish whiskey, the one thing compared to a Scotch whiskey is they don't use peat to dry out and get their malt dry. So, you know, oftentimes those Scotch whiskeys are real smoky. They, again, peaty as well. The Irish whiskeys are a little bit smoother. And then, you know, with the old joke, the translation of whiskey in Gaelic is the water of life. There's other derivations of that, vodka, which is the Slavic water of life, eau de vie in France, aquavit up in the Scandinavian countries. But the whiskey is the water of life. So they would distill this, and they've been distilling in Ireland since about the 1400s. Some of the monks came over from down in Europe, seeing what they were doing to actually make perfume. But then, of course, you know, after a little while, someone's bored at the still, and all of a sudden nips at it. But Ireland became a huge powerhouse in the distillation business as far as making all these different whiskeys from the different towns, great expressions. And since they weren't peated, they were a little bit softer and easier to drink, and that's what made them so wonderful. Now, there is this fella, his last name was Coffee, and he developed this still. It's still in use today, called the Coffee Still, which was kind of the beginning of the end of the demise of Irish whiskeys, because the way the still worked, it could operate 24 hours or constantly, where other batch, you know, kettle stills, that type of thing, you do a batch, you run it, you distill it, you clean it up, and then you put another batch in. The Coffee Still, which is a long tower about 25 feet tall, the distillation processes could go on, and they could continue that. And that allowed those particular distilleries that had the coffee still to basically run all the time, reduce costs, and increase efficiency. So eventually there was only about three distilleries in all. Actually, in 1966, they were down to two, Middleton and Bushmills. Then in about 87, the Cooley Distillery came on. My friend Bernard Wall started that one up. And they, you know, started back on the track, and now they're going. Part of the demise, too, was that, you know, you had a little thing in the United States, which at that time was Ireland's largest export market. for the whiskeys was the United States, and we had that little funny hiccup called Prohibition, which put the kibosh on those whiskeys across the board. So, you know, it slowed down for Ireland, and plus the coffee distiller got the, you know, started messing with the economies of scale, slowing things down. So literally in 1966, there was only two distilleries in all of Ireland. Now there's three, but the good news is they're cropping back up. I think they're back up to about 32 distilleries currently in and around Ireland. There might be a few more that have popped up, and it's just a great expression, you know, a little taste of the old homeland as well. And also, if you don't want to go all the way to Ireland to go tour some of those distilleries, we have a wonderful little distillery over on University Avenue that we love to talk about. It's called the Keeper's Heart. The O'Shaughnessy Distillery, a local family, a kind of famous family as far as the O'Shaughnessy family is concerned in Minnesota especially. But they built this beautiful distillery right over there. And it's so beautiful, and they have such a great business plan, that Pat O'Shaughnessy and his cousin went over to Ireland to talk to some guys from Jameson. And they actually had the head distiller of Jameson, which is kind of the holy grail of distillers, especially in Ireland, to become the head distiller at Jameson. They actually got him to not only be their distiller, but leave Ireland and move to Minnesota, which is always tricky. You know, my old friend Stan Hubbard will always say, Minnesota is the hardest place to recruit to, but it's also the hardest place to recruit from. So Mr. Nation came over here and to start up the Keeper's Heart Distillery, which is right over there on University Avenue. Gorgeous place to go tour, go see, you know, have a little taste. They do an American-Irish blend. We've done some single barrels with them where our team went over, went through their distillery, tasted a few barrels, and then they slapped that on there. So the Keeper's Heart is just a great expression. It technically can't be called an Irish whiskey per se. They do contract whiskeys from Ireland and bring it over, and that's in their Irish-American blend. But the rest of it is just proper whiskey that they distill. But they're wonderful, great little flavor wines. They do it in the same style. And I think the one reason why Mr. Nation came over, he was allowed a little bit more freedom. I think in Jameson, even though it was a coveted title, you're pigeonholed a little bit on exactly what, how, and where you can distill. This being over here, he was allowed to experiment, you know, different types of barrels, different types of hops and malts and things like that in those whiskeys to go with. So it's a great little setup to get everybody St. Patrick's Day ready and raring, whether you're going to have a nice ice cold Guinness on this day or maybe a little Keeper's Heart or just a little Irish whiskey to let you know that it's all warm and good in the world.
Absolutely, and I know exactly the place where you can find different things to taste and celebrate this St. Patrick's Day at Haskell's.
You are correct, Denny. You know, you don't have to be Irish to enjoy all this stuff, but it definitely doesn't hurt as well. We have a Haskell's all throughout the metro area to take care of any of your St. Patrick's Day needs. We have a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with free parking on the weekends. We have a Haskell's out in Minnetonka right across from Ridgedale Shopping Center. We have a Haskell's in St. Paul's Highland Village, also a Haskell's in Lowman's Plaza down in South Bloomington. We have a Haskell's out in Excelsior right in downtown Excelsior. We also have, if you're going out east, Haskell's in White Bear Lake. Going even further east, you can stop by Haskell's Stillwater. If you're headed down south, right off of 35, we have a Haskell's in Faribault. If you're going up north, stop by Haskell's Plymouth. Or if you're going further north, stop by our Super Cellar, which is right in Maple Grove, a sight to be seen, full of all kinds of Irish beers and Irish whiskeys to take care of your needs for this weekend. And if you can't do any of that, stop by Haskell's.com, place your order 24/7. They work just like those coffee distills, and we'll take care of your orders. And Aaron Gobras.
Outstanding. Thanks, Ted. Let's talk next week.
I look forward to that, Denny.
Ted Farrell from Haskell's.